of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shots and follow-up. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
That's called a serious header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma. Strepitosa in questa via.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks Rashani. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice. And not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And oh!
Jack Wilshere to Zola, Giroud, Giroud again, Jack Wilshere! It's stunning from Arsenal!
Bradley swings it in invitingly, oh my word, it's gone straight in, it's Bradley!
Remember when I was telling you about Vanny out? Vanny out.
Am I the only guy who had faith in this guy? I think he deserves, okay. I think players always make a coach look good or bad. I think, you know, we said it before on the show. I think coaches get too much credit when teams do well, and they get way too much grief when teams do poorly. Is it a combination of both? I don't know. But I think Greg Vanny does deserve a lot of credit for, you know, steady goes the ship. I think TFC is a perfect example. We talked about this before last year of them needing some stability. Right? We talked about it specifically with the back four. I think Greg Vanny's part of that. I think him and Robin Fraser and their group have brought steady goes the ship. I don't know. What do you think, Reg?
Well, definitely, because they're using the same lineup for the first time. I think they used the stat was they used the same lineup for four games for the first time all season. So we're talking about a 36 game season, and you have a different lineup every time. It's not going to bring the stability as we were talking about. You know what I mean? And the confidence of these other players. But for those people that don't know what we're talking about, our hometown team, our boys in red, Toronto FC, have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll be playing next week against the Montreal Impact, another Canadian team. And it's very exciting times in Toronto. So, you know, we'll be talking more about that as the show goes on. But we're going to hit you with our regular topics, EPL, Serie A. We're going to hit upon a little bit of the university, Canadian university stuff that we were talking about a couple of shows ago. We're going to give you a rundown, and we're going to check in with some of those stats too. Right, Joe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, guys, once again, you're listening to Football Weekly podcast. It should be called Football Monthly. It seems like we're going to do a show every month, but
Football Annual.
Football Annual. We'll be back. We'll be back weekly again. It's just tough to get going, but we're in it now, right, Joe?
We're here. We're good.
We're in it. So, as usual, you can reach us at footballweekly.com. Our Twitter handle at @football_weekly. Football spelt FUTBOL. Weekly, obviously, not a small weekly. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's a number of different ways you can get us, number of different podcatchers you can catch us on as well. You can subscribe to us via email. Every time a new episode is uploaded, you'll get an email saying so. It's the easiest way. So many things to talk about. We've been gone for so long. EPL season is 8 weeks or, 7 weeks in. We haven't talked about anything. Serie A the same. International qualifiers, Champions League, MLS playoffs, Canadian college, university, NCAA stuff. It's all coming together, isn't it?
A lot.
It is a lot. So definitely stay tuned. We'll have a lot to say. Some good, some bad, some controversial, some, yeah, no kidding. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly podcast, and we'll be back after this.
Hey, ma'am, we are in Champions League. We are in Champions League, man.
That was my next
dilly din, dilly dong. Come on.
We're going to start off talking about the EPL. This is probably, well, it's only the beginning of the season, right, Joel? It's but, one of the yeah, tight.
Yeah, but this is a pretty competitive league this year. I think there's like five teams that we can easily say legitimate shot of winning this thing.
Four, I don't rate City.
You think it's only four?
I don't rate Manchester City. I don't care if they beat Barcelona 8-0. I still don't rate them.
Yeah, maybe not, maybe not. But, you know, Reggie, they're still in the conversation.
For now.
You know, I mean, for me, I mean, Arsenal, dare I say Liverpool, who I know Arsenal fans, you know, might want to hear this. I, if you had to ask me today, I think Arsenal, again, finishes two. You know?
Really?
Well, I think they have the... A lot of people are calling for the player of the year to be Kevin De Bruyne. I think it's a toss-up for me between Mesut Ozil and De Bruyne. And you know, but the collective that is Liverpool is something else. I mean, we always talk about managers.
Mm-hmm.
Jurgen Klopp's decision to have faith in James Milner as a left-back has been great. What we're getting out of the Brazilian there that everyone's going to think I'm going to say Coutinho. Sure. I'm talking about Firmino.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, a lot has been said. A couple of games is his work rate, you know, they really highlighted that, you know. I agree with that. I mean, it's really exciting. I think it's really, for the first time, competitive to a point where legitimately four to five teams have a real legit shot of winning this whole thing.
It's not over by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
obviously, because we're only 8 weeks into the season.
Yeah, that's right.
We still have that grueling Christmas period where things usually shake out and tell you who's really in this to win it.
And then we're going to say this every year with EPL. It's like, you know, you can't discount like a Chelsea who don't have to worry about Champions League football.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams that don't have to worry about Champions League football.
Yeah, you know.
EPL, so.
Yeah, and, you know.
And look at the toll it's taking on Leicester.
Who are Champions League juggernauts right now, aren't they? Oh, oof.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, they're in the relegation zone, and they are, you know, firmly cemented in the second round of the Champions League. So, you know, let's take a look at Chelsea. They were soundly beaten by Arsenal, soundly beaten by Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, I don't know. And then, you know, here they are. And Antonio Conte has really gotten them going. Again, manager getting a lot of credit. But, you know, let's give credit to this. Let's not discount the immense, impact that N'Golo Conte has on a team.
Mm-hmm.
The other Conte, if you will.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at Leicester City. I mean, last year, do they still have Mahrez this year? Check. Still got Vardy? For sure. I mean, I get it. We know the Cinderella story. We understand. You know, hard-pressed. They were going to be hard-pressed to do that again. But let's just take a look at what N'Golo Conte has meant for Chelsea.
Well, it was a very aging midfield last year with Matic, and even Fabregas looks a little bit off the pace as well, right?
Oh, for sure. So I like that you mentioned Matic. I think when you bring in an energy times 1,000 guy like N'Golo Kanté with Matic, that makes him look a lot, you know, more special than he is. And he was always a very good player. But, you know, this is not just us saying Kanté because, you know, he scored a great goal a couple weeks ago. No. But, you know, the number of balls recovered, the energy that he provides, you know, I think that is such a key thing. And he's now cemented himself as, you know, the engine that could with Chelsea, what he was doing with Leicester. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's the only reason, you know, and like you said, Reg, it's only 8 weeks in, you know, let's settle down. But, you know, hey, this is why we do this and we're having fun with it. But if you had to ask me, it's Liverpool, Arsenal, who are the two you know, really, really key players are in this, you know, race, if you will.
So what's wrong with United? And I'm talking about Manchester, not Newcastle. Talking about Manchester.
Yeah. Rich, what do you say? What about the latest thing that came out this week where Mourinho is calling into question guys like Luke Shaw?
Yeah.
You know, and I think Malling? Or no, Luke Shaw for sure. I'm going to miss it, but Luke Shaw for sure, you know, and saying, you know, these guys have to sacrifice. And, you know, like, what about them, you know, playing hurt, if you will. You know, and saying to the manager that they weren't ready. And, you know, Mourinho, in typical Mourinho fashion, says, you know, this doesn't cut it. We have to have a mentality that, you know, we have to give everything we can. And even when we're injured and sacrifice our bodies. Always, and he also, he actually referenced the old guard, the old heroes of Manchester United. And he goes, you know, they would not be happy with this. They would not be.
Well, could you imagine one of the old, like we're talking about the old guard, coming to Sir Alex and saying, you know what, just
I'm not feeling it today.
Can I just, it would never happen, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is, you know, so, but again, some of the Mourinho luster has been lost, and here he is. He's just letting it go and letting it, you know, and saying, yeah, this is not the group that, you know,
I envisioned. I thought I was taking over.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, in one way, good for him to say it. In the other sense is, wow, I can't believe that this is what we've come to. That
so big spending next year then for Manchester United.
No, you know, and, I mean, my gosh, like, you know, and everyone's given grief to Pogba. I know he scored a great goal in their last game. But, you know, I mean, this, did he ask for all that money to be?
No, it's it's not his fault about the really money, isn't. Right?
Yeah, like,
If someone wants to give Juventus $90 million or whatever, $100 million or whatever it was for him, like what can Paul Pogba do about that? Now he has to live up to that, which is unfair to him. But still, you know, what's he supposed to do? What is the team supposed to do? The team's going to sell him regardless, right?
Yeah, and here's this, you know, North American style mentality that he gets all that. I mean, you know, he doesn't get all that, right? So yes, he gets a hefty wage and he still gets whatever. But you know, I mean. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's not his fault.
Who turns that down? Which one of us turns that down? So, you know, absolutely. What? I don't think I'm worth that much. Let me. Who's going to do that?
No. Yeah, and I think totally unfair to the player too. Of course. I agree.
Of course.
This week or the last 2 days, Marco Verratti came out and he's saying, "Whoa, don't be talking about making me $100 million signing. Like, no player's worth that." And I think his point is, you know, hold on a second. Like, you know, if a transfer fee does happen, like, I don't want to be held to that. Meaning. How are you ever going to live up to that?
Right.
Like, what Paul Pogba has to do in you know, our eyes, the media's eyes, and in the public's eyes to live up to that transfer fee. It's like, you know, what else does he have to, does he win, if they win the Champions League, does that, I mean, one day.
He's got to score every game, got to win EPL, got to win Champions League, FA Cup, Capital Cup.
Yeah, you know, and exactly. It's and when we are talking about this highly competitive league where, you know, the top eight, top six are very, very, very competitive. It's a tough one. I mean, listen, are we here defending him and saying, oh, poor him? No. But there's a lot of things going on here. So back to what we're with Mourinho, Reg. I mean, these players got to play.
Of course.
You know, and it doesn't fix the fact that, you know, what we thought is still a very porous defense at Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, you know.
But I think they were. I think their offense. I think Mourinho thought that their offense was going to kind of hide or protect their their weak defense, right?
Absolutely.
If we let in two, don't worry, Ibra, Pogba, you know, Rashford, we'll get four, so it's good.
Right, and to be fair, let's deal with those guys. I mean, Ibra has got to be better. You know, I mean, Paul Pogba's taking all of the abuse.
I don't think these guys were ready for what this league is, if you know what I mean. Like, Ibra came from France, which is very, playing for PSG, very easy, let's be honest.
I think they were too comfortable.
Yeah, Pogba's coming from Juve, where it was easy, Champions League, leagues all the time. The league's done by February. You've won it, right? Unless you lose every single game, right? So now you're fighting with Chelsea and City, and it's a derby, and it's this, and it's that, and it's this coach doesn't like that coach, and that so every game has some background to it, and it's tough, right?
Like you said, it's eight games. I think they've had to settle and find their way no matter where they are. You know, I don't buy that Ibrahimovic is going to turn it on. He will be okay. You know, Paul Pogba will find his way. But in saying that, Paul Pogba, Anthony Martial, Rashford, Ibrahimovic, it's got to be better. Mm-hmm. Here's where I'm going to criticize Mourinho big time. The Fellaini project, it's done.
You don't like Fellaini? Like,
it's awful. I mean, Herrera, I know he's hurt, but I think he's hurt, right? But anyway, Herrera, Mata, they need to play. You know, you have Schneiderlin just wasting away. Like,
but who's going to come in and play that defensive tackle, break it up, win head balls, win balls in the midfield? I don't think they have that guy.
You know, Reggie, I think, you know, this thing where, you know, Juan Mata, you know, and Pogba, I think they'll be okay. I think, you know, like, I don't think you need to have that. You know, that's where Pogba maybe might rise to the occasion. He's still playing them in a defensive or like in a deeper role anyway. I mean, I don't know. I think Mourinho has, lost his luster. But, you know, even him, I think sometimes his message might have fallen on some deaf ears. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a world-class manager. We all do. I think we can all say that. But I think there is some validity to the fact or the talk that, you know, he hasn't adapted and I wouldn't say with his tactics, but with the way his man management.
He was at Chelsea, what, 2 seasons ago?
Yeah.
The tactics should still, I guess, different personnel, different tactics. You got to play towards your personnel, I guess. You can't fit.
I think it's his man of management, Reg. I think it's his command of the dressing room. I think, you know, coaches get tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, does it appear to you that Mourinho has the same Mourinho energy as before? Like, I don't know. I don't see it.
Every time I see him on the sideline or you see a picture of him, it's not, like you said, it's not the same Mourinho we're used to.
It just doesn't seem that way.
You know?
He looks almost beaten. Yeah, he does. He just doesn't look like he has the energy. You know, and when, again, you're looking at these other guys that he's competing with, I mean, you might say, well, Wenger never looks like he has any energy.
Well, that's just him, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's never been who he's been, right? Whereas Mourinho's always been, you know, the guy. I mean, listen, it's funny how when Chelsea beats Manchester United and Jose Mourinho comes out and says, you know, Antonio Conte, you need to relax. And, you know, he whispered in his ear, hey, you know, at 4-0, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. Get the crowd going. I said, wait a second. This is you a couple of years ago. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I thought that was really, really, you know, exactly. Bush of him to call Conte out for, you know, riling up the crowd, even though it was a 3-4-0. I mean, come on. I mean, worry about your own team.
Exactly.
You know, I think you got your own issues to worry about. You know, what do we say when Jurgen Klopp is jumping around at Anfield and saying, hey, I like it. No, we love it. I mean, this is what these managers bring. You always mention about the EPL and you know, how competitive and how strong it is and so on. Well, these managers, you don't think that they feel it? The relief of scoring a goal or going up on a team. Like, this is, hey, I love it. I love the passion. Let them show it.
Mm-hmm.
But worry about your own team and then get it going.
You bring up Wenger. Wenger's always been, Wenger's that gentleman, you know what I mean?
That's who he is.
Mourinho's the guy that'll run down the sideline when his team scores.
Absolutely.
You have to celebrate with the team,
yeah.
Right?
Wenger is, like, look at Ranieri, you know, they're very similar.
Yeah. It's more of a gentleman of the sport.
Yeah, they're more reserved, and then that's the way that they get their, you know, message across, I want to say. Well, that's their demeanor, right? They're going to be who they are. So if you ask me, Reg, in terms of the teams that are, you know, going to be there in the end, I think if you ask me today, it's Liverpool and Arsenal. And with Chelsea right there nipping at it, but I think they've shown for me that they could be, well, I think again, because of the collective, I think, you know, Mesut Ozil's playing out of his mind again, you know, and I think for me that Coutinho, Firmino mix is just, you know, and listen, they haven't even got Sturridge in the mix yet.
They really haven't.
You know, and there's an ace in the hole, too. I worry about their defense, though. I do worry about that again, you know, but their attack and the manner in which they're playing shows such positivity.
They look dangerous, that's for sure. They look dangerous.
Yeah, and if you ask me about right now, you know, De Bruyne, Ozil, and these guys are really up for that player of the year, again, 8 games in. Nice to talk and laugh and joke about it, right?
Yeah, well, it'll get a little more serious when we're in March or April.
But that's right.
We'll see where we stand.
And the rigors of Champions League football, right? We say that so many times, mm-hmm. but that's where maybe Chelsea comes in. And we saw Antonio Conte with his first run at Juventus, you know, where they were not in the Champions, and then after they were, you know, really take hold. And you know, once that role goes, hey. Look at Leicester City. Exactly. That roller coaster just kept going.
This is Philip Prostrand, head coach of the Ryerson men's soccer team. You're listening to Joe and Reggie on Football Weekly Podcast.
Well, speaking of Conte, we'll move over to the league he used to coach in and get the Serie A rundown from Joe.
Yeah, well, I guess not much has changed in terms of Juventus being a top.
No way.
Yeah, but not by as much as before.
No.
And we have a new old face finally back, dare I say legitimately, in the top five. AC Milan is firmly entrenched in third place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 1 point behind Roma and, you know, 4 or 5 points behind Juventus. They actually, you know, beat Juventus. We talked about that with a big goal from an 18-year-old, you know, in Emmanuel Locatelli. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Locatelli. And who's another phenom, young guy, just like, you know, Gigi Donnarumma in the net for AC Milan. They are the story of it. They are really, you know, the driving force of bringing AC Milan back to respectability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I think, you know, this is, everyone knows, yes, I am an AC Milan fan, but I think, Reggie, I've been fair in giving them just criticism, like everyone else.
For sure.
Right?
you're the hardest critic on these guys. I'm always telling you, don't worry, they'll come through. And these guys suck.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to give them some credit. They are firmly entrenched in respectability right now. And they're, you know, it's a good mix of young players, and they need some more help. But, you know, as is their financial situation right now, they're going to be looking to get cast-offs from other teams, like Cesc Fabregas is a talk to be coming, mm-hmm. and so on. But, you know, the positive is they are putting together a great string of results, and their coach, Montella, is really, you know, let's say gathering the troops. But, yeah, it's nice to see them up there. It's like this, Reg. You know, I think you would agree as well. In any sport, in any league, you need certain teams. The leagues are always better when those old guard teams are doing well.
Juve, Inter, AC, Fiorentina, Napoli, Roma.
You know, obviously, Arsenal fans, you never want to see Tottenham even close to it, mm-hmm. of course. You know, if you're Man City, you never want to see United. But the neutral, always want to see those teams in there.
Exactly.
Right? So it's good to see there. Roma is, you know, quietly putting together, dare I say, Edin Džeko was the leading scorer.
Oh, wow.
In Serie A. Like, he is, you know, finally showing those glimpses that he showed us in Man City. But he's scoring goals, and, you know, they look like they are up there in terms of challenging Juve. But, I mean, I don't see Juve losing again, Reg. I don't. But, again, depending on what they do in Champions. And then we have the free-for-all of free-for-alls.
What's that?
Inter.
Oh, yeah. That should be a great squad, eh?
Oh, man.
It should be so good.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, they go and sign Gabigol there from you know, Brazil, and they don't even play the guy. You know, Frank de Boer out as manager.
Yeah.
You know, and Pioli taking over. It's just a real, real just comedy of errors.
Well, Stu won't want to hear that.
Yeah. So, but Stu. That's our Serie A. I mean, that's about it for Serie A. For me, Reg, the story of it is AC Milan finally being up and getting there. You know, we'll see. Roma playing. You know, Napoli needs to be, again, you know, more consistent. They really suffered. Milik, the Polish striker who's started off so brightly for them, did so well. You know, he gets injured. He's out for the year. They're going to look to replace him. I think if you had to ask me, Reg, realistically, it would be, you know, I think Juve will be there, and then Roma, Napoli, two or three, and hopefully AC Milan in the fourth spot. But, oh, Reg, it's worth noting, Sassuolo, your favorite team.
Yes, sir.
You know, their manager, great, bright young manager, DeFrancesco, saying, you know, my team is suffering because of all of the energy they need to put in Europa League, right? Small club. And they've kind of dwindled in terms of the Serie A table. And I think they're mired in like 12th or 13th right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, people, it's not an excuse.
No, it's just reality.
It is reality.
You know, whether you're a major club in the world, right? Like the big ones we always talk about, battling Champions League soccer and domestic, you know, you're a side that was, you know, a great Cinderella story and having to deal with both. Look at Leicester. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you don't have the players that are used to it. Champions League is a different animal completely. It's not like FA Cup or what's the one in Italy? Super Cup?
Coppa Italia
or whatever is in.
It's different. It's a different animal.
Definitely. Champions League is my favorite tournament. It's above World Cups even.
You know, and you're looking at teams that aren't used to traveling like that in midweek. And you think of Sassuolo, a provincial type club, and, you know, and having to, the whole staff, like, not like, traveling midweek
we got a game Wednesday, let's go Wednesday. You're gone Tuesday.
That's right.
You know, so you play Sunday.
You're traveling.
You maybe get a light session in on Monday, a recovery session. You're on the plane to wherever you got to go Tuesday. You get there, you're sleeping in a hotel, you have a little training session, you play, and then you're back to play again Saturday.
Absolutely.
And you're back in a league that's like, I can't rest you because, you know, it's that tight.
That's right. And you look at these clubs that are smaller, the roster available to you isn't what you got at Arsenal or Manchester United and, you know, Juventus and Real Madrid. That's a reality.
Right. It's definitely.
You know, we definitely want to see, though, Sassuolo. We definitely want to see Fiorentina. We want to see these teams who we've been really excited to talk about the last year, so hopefully, you know, give us, you know, and continue to, you know, hopefully stay in European football.
Definitely. Let's move across the pond to, well, from there anyway, to the MLS.
Wow.
In a league that we just finished talking about, leagues that are just getting started. This one's just coming to the end, and it's getting very exciting in Toronto.
Money
right
time.
Definitely money time. For those of you that are unaware, we started off the show with a little bit of a tease. TFC going to the Eastern Conference Finals against another Canadian team, which is amazing in itself, the Montreal Impact, which is probably, it's like Tottenham playing Arsenal in a playoff series or AC playing Inter in a playoff series. It's a derby. It's 4 hours away from each other. And
it's legitimate,
There's going to be a ton of Montreal fans here in Toronto, and there's going to be a ton of Toronto fans in Montreal. It's going to be a great two-leg series.
Yeah, I'm for one not so, I mean, TFC, and again, getting all the love and so on, but, you know, and of course we are noted TFC fans.
Right.
Of course we, you know, it's a great chance, of course, but man, it is scary to play Montreal. They've usually had TFC's number.
They do.
You know, and
tight games. Thought,
you know, fantastic, absolutely. And, you know, Giamenco, rightfully so, gets so much credit. It's ridiculous that he's not in the MVP
I like the MLS for the way they're doing everything North American style, and they're not actually copying European style formats with this whole playoff thing and all that stuff. I like that it's a little bit different. But this league makes some crazy decisions sometimes.
Stupid. Really.
Okay. How this guy is not even in the, even if he doesn't win it, okay, fine. Right. He won it last year, okay.
Yeah, you want to share the love, okay, fine.
I get that. But not to even nominate. What are we watching here?
He was dominant last year.
Yeah.
He's more dominant this year.
Definitely. And you could see it when he was injured and he wasn't playing, how the team kind of struggled. And as soon as he comes back, it's just, you know, the attention.
They're on a different level.
Of course, yeah. Because the attention is focused on him, so other players get their shine. Like, I always liken it to when Suarez played for Liverpool. Everybody thought Sturridge was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Since Suarez has left, what has Sturridge done? I know he's been injured or whatever.
I mean, he hasn't been the guy he was.
He's been nowhere near that guy. Right? That's what happens when those kind of guys create the space for other players to shine.
Oh, for sure. Listen, everyone said it, so it's, you know, even the soccer mom watching casually, he's dominant.
Right.
It's not even close.
Right.
How dominant he is and what he does every week and scoring a hat trick against New York City FC, you know, to seal it, to easily have, you know, TFC coast into the two-leg conference semifinal to play in the final. Absolutely. Not to nominate him. Mm. What the hell are you thinking, MLS?
I don't know.
I mean, we've had to suffer through your ridiculous, I'm going to say it, the refereeing. It's been just appalling throughout.
Joe, you know, some of those refs ref us in our beer leagues.
Yeah, it's terrible.
This is the level we're at right now.
And we'll live through that. Okay, but you're going to put Sasha Kleston. I'm not disputing him, and he had a great year.
Better than Jovinko?
I think these guys would even, they're embarrassed to be nominated and not have Jovinko nominated.
But the most valuable player is, anyway, I don't know.
So Reg, who would you think? I mean, is it going to be Wright Phillips? Because, you know,
like he scored the most goals?
And it's going to be Wright Phillips, Villa, and Kleston.
From
David Villa in those two legs.
Oh, he's terrible.
Like, it looked like he just didn't want to be there.
Terrible. If it was me, I don't know who the third guy would be, but it has to be Jovinko and Payetti from Montreal.
Spot on. To me, I think you got to give Payetti. Jovinko, Wright Phillips.
Okay, sure. You can throw Wright Phillips or Villa, whoever. They scored the most goals, whatever. If you want to do
Jovinko.
That, fine. Has to be. Has to be. And like we said, he won last year, so like you said, share the love. I get it, but he has to be nominated. This is ridiculous.
I mean, we're saying if they want to share love, we can see that. We both agree, though, and most people, screw sharing the love. Those guys, he is the MVP again. It's not even close.
Has to be.
This guy has been the best player. And, you know, all these players and you know, even pundits on ESPN are saying, you know what, he's by far the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I don't know what the league does.
Well, in terms of the league, right, what do we have this week again? Italian manager Giampiero Ventura is saying he will not be called in, being Sebastian Giovinco, because, Reg?
Inferior league
and so on. Here's my take on this. I think Giovinco, although he might not say it, and his agent came out and said it, saying that he should be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Giovinco believes it's an inferior league.
I'm sure he does.
I mean, that's a duh statement. What I should say is, I think Giovinco understands it. Yeah, I get why he's not going to call me. Like, you know, and I think we're all saying, well, he should go, and how could this guy say this, and there's outrage over it. I get it, but Reg, I think this is the case in a lot of places in Europe. If they had the choice, they probably won't call up their guys that are in MLS. And I'm talking about nations like, well, Italy, Spain, you know, Germany and so on. I don't know.
Nah, but by the time those players get to these leagues, to MLS, they're usually done by now. Like a Lampard or a Gerrard or those David Villa. Yeah. They're done by the time they play.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Do I think that Giovinco should deserve. I think he deserves a call up, and I don't think it would be, you know, out of the realm. I think he should get called up, but I understand. And this mentality, see, it's such a shock. It makes news here, but I get it. Like, this is the standard or the lack of respect for a player playing in MLS. I think everyone's taking it way too personally.
Yeah,
it's just it's an ignorant opinion. But, and I do mean it in the true sense of the word, ignorant.
But in all fairness, it is a different speed. It is different level.
Right?
I can't see Giovinco coming from playing New York in New York with that thrashing that they gave them and going to play the Spanish national team in a World Cup qualifier this Saturday. Are they playing this Saturday or Sunday? Are they playing Spain? Italy?
I thought that, you know what, Reggie, I told you off the air they were. I think that's the following, that's the next round of qualifying.
Regardless, am I going to, yeah. Can I put Giovinco after playing New York FC into that
exactly,
game?
I don't think I can. Listen, guys, we love the MLS, we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. Is it getting better? Of course it is.
Yeah.
But it is not at the level of these big-time European club. And guess what? Yeah, it is Italy who is not calling out. It is like it would be a Spain. It would be a Germany. It would be these upper echelon European teams that, I mean, they have a plethora of options.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not saying, you know, again, I've said it a lot on the show, you know, it's Italy's one of those nations where if they were going to call someone up out of the realm, it would be, they'd be one of them. But they still have plenty of other options of players playing at a top, top level.
Right.
So yeah. I get it, guys. I'm with you. I think it's insane that he doesn't even get a sniff. I get it. I really do. You know. But what we're saying, what I'm saying is, here's, I get why not. So the panic, and I don't. Hey, I'd love to hear from you guys. Tell me I'm crazy, but I'm just saying, I understand the theory behind it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, anybody who's in the game gets it. But you know, he probably does deserve to be there. But I can see why the coach would say,
Reg, we're looking at these world class defenders and teams. And players weekly playing against them, and then like you said, Reg, you got one shot to qualify. And in the group in Italy, where you're in a group with Spain and you're in second place already, and you know, this is, you got to qualify, and it's hard to qualify.
Right.
So yeah. I get it.
Totally.
But you know, it is an arrogant. I would say more than arrogant, Reg. I think it's an ignorant attitude. Because ignorance is not knowing, right?
But I get it, though. That's the thing.
Me too.
You know what I mean? It's bad to say, come out and say that, but I understand how he wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, really? You know, it's like, jeez. Like, put Mesut Ozil here. Put Kevin De Bruyne here.
Yeah.
Like, you think Giovinco's doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, Ozil would tear this thing up.
So, you know.
De Bruyne too, but yeah, anyway. So we're playing first games in Montreal.
30,000 seats sold in like 48 hours. That's a big O.
At the big O. So that's on turf though too, right?
Yeah, you know, that is not gonna be an easy place to play.
No, definitely. But I'll tell you what, Joe, if that game was on the weekend, I'd be right there.
Yeah, I know.
That's a five-hour drive? That's easy.
Yeah, we were saying that too. Like, man, it's on a Tuesday night, though, right? Or Wednesday night.
But we're still going to be there Wednesday night when it's at BMO, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great, definitely. Great atmosphere.
Great atmosphere in the last, we have to say, Reg, right? You were both at the last game.
That place rocks, man. When things are going well, that place is amazing to be.
It's great to see. And we talk about the maturation and the, you know, the growth of the game in North America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're witnessing history, not only the wins, but, you know, to be able to watch a game with that atmosphere, and it's getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, it's not quite there yet. There's really only one side that's, you know, up and chanting and singing and, you know, but if we can get even a quarter of the stadium doing that type of stuff, you know, this place is going to be it's already difficult to play here, but it's going to be impossible in a couple of years, I'm assuming anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had Patrick Vieira and the manager of NYCFC say, you know, wow, he hadn't seen nothing like that in MLS. Like, and again, that's a pretty strong statement when you have state, you know, places like Portland,
Seattle,
you know, some pretty cool venues. So, you know, it was good to see. It was nice to see. And, you know, that brand, the MLS, although we've just talked about, okay, it's still a step down, but it is really getting better.
So the second leg of that, or the first leg of that game will be, like we said, on a Tuesday. I think it's November 22nd.
That's right. And the return leg being 30th.
Right, the 30th. That's a little bit of, we Toronto beat them last Sunday, so that's a little bit of a stretch. I know there's an international break, and that's the reason for it. But, you know, if, and I don't know if it's the first time, but MLS Cup is just going to, is going to the team with the higher seed. So possibly we could be playing the MLS Cup final in Toronto in December.
Right. You know, Reg, funny you say that, you mentioned with the international break and so on.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, Champions League and playing in that and then having to go back. Well, what about this? Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore are having to go on U.S. international duty.
Right.
In the break, and, you know, they're both playing at a great tilt. And what if they come back injured, not at their best? Right. I mean, Jozy Altidore, it doesn't take much for him.
Right.
And it's not a knock on Jozy. He's been fantastic, by the way.
Oh, bro. Oh, meaning that,
you know, the way his game is a very physical one. He's athletic and so on, and he's working hard. You know, I hope that he comes back fit because he's been immense for TFC. Right? And if not for Giovinco, you could make the argument he's been the best player in the playoffs.
Yeah, he has. That goal he scored the other night was in New York was just that's brute strength and skill, right?
He looks like a man possessed.
It should be. This is not a thing that you're guaranteed. You know, going to the playoffs, playing well, you have the chance now. Might as well make the best of it right now. You know what I mean? Because you're not guaranteed to get back there, even though you have a player like Giovinco. You have Bradley, you have Altidore, you got guys like Cheru who doesn't play that much but is still serviceable. You know, these guys aren't going to be around forever, you know what I mean?
You might as well
do it while you can.
And we see it in MLS every year. It's, you know, it's one of those leagues where you go from being in a final, being a champion, to not even making the playoffs the next year.
Exactly.
You know, it's such a grueling season that has to take into consideration those international breaks and injuries and so on. So, yeah, I mean, Jozy sees it, and you really see him, just his work rate and, you know, his competitiveness. He wants this, and it's been great to see.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait for these two games. Can't wait. Should be very interesting.
Fair to say, too, Reg, we've been really big, although we celebrate his quality. We know that he's amazing, good player. But we've been a little bit hard on Michael Bradley, and rightfully so this year. But in saying that, he was fantastic.
Oh, man of the match.
Playoff games. Yeah, and especially in the game in Toronto against NYCFC. Absolutely the man of the match. And he showed his worth, and he deserves a lot of credit for his performances.
Him and Vanny, actually. I've been very hard on Vanny. For those of you that were listening at the beginning
Vanny
of the season.
Vanny goes the ship. Greg Vanny.
Yeah,
I know.
I wanted to get rid of him, but...
you know, and I said, Greg, just let's see. But again, you know, is it a thing of... I mean, he's got these... His DPs, his designated players are bringing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always said, I say, you know, if your best players got to be your best players, and they're going to make the coach, you know, like we said in the intro, When teams lose, coach gets far too much criticism sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, not always. And
when they win,
sometimes they get a little bit too much credit, right?
So, that's it.
I think, Clint Irwin came out and said, you know, TSC goalkeeper, that, you know, they just feel, they always feel so prepared. And the guys gave so much credit to the coaching staff. You've heard us on this show, not only, you know, reference Greg Vanney, but Robin Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Robin Fraser, you know, from what we've heard and what we've read and some of the insights we get from, you know, our sources, you know, telling us that, yeah, that he's really, really well respected within the TFC dressing room. And
Those are the guy. Those are the type of guys that run practice, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like the head manager or the head coach in North America that you see here, it's not them on the field, you know, directing players what to do. It's usually the first manager, I guess.
Assistant manager, first assistant.
Stuff, yeah, they do all the preparation. Yeah. They're putting the players through their paces during the week. So.
And there's video analysis that they lead and stuff. So
exactly.
There's a lot. It really is a collective, you know, and they deserve a lot of credit. And Robin Fraser deserves a lot of credit, too.
Definitely.
Along with Greg Vanney.
Definitely.
You know, and it was nice to hear Michael Bradley give a lot of credit to Greg Vanney in a recent interview, you know, and it's good to see. I think his steadying influence, his steadying, you know, approach is a good one. We talked about this. This TFC was just yearning for stability. And for me, I think Clint Irwin and Drew Moore, those are two other guys, you know, really good steadying influence. Hey, the young lad from Syracuse University, Alex Bono, who took a real beating in the first couple of games where he looked shaky.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? He really, you know, he showed a lot of professionalism for me, and he stuck with it. And he guided TFC in a pretty important part of the season, and he came up big, and he grew a lot, too. So, you know, again, Alex Bono, a bright future, again, from, you know, an alumnus from Syracuse University. So
It came to the point where I thought when Clint Irwin came back, he might not play.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? And again, the faith in having this young guy and making sure that, hey, we're not going to rush Clint Irwin back. You know, I thought, again, that was a pretty, you know, non-panic move that I thought, hey, you know what? At first I was like, are these guys crazy? But hey, just goes to show, you know, they did do a good job, and they do deserve a lot of credit for that.
Well, we've come a long way since a bloody big deal, so. And the Jermaine Defoe experiment, so I'm glad that it could have easily folded, and, you know, we tried to get big players here, and it didn't work, but I'm glad that everything's working out. We made the playoffs for the first time last year, and now we've gone further than we've ever been before. So.
Yeah, you got to say it's gravy no matter what happens with TFC.
Definitely, definitely.
You know, I mean, so good on them, and yeah, for the first time ever, we're going to have a Canadian team in the MLS Cup final. So.
Finally. Sticking in Canada, we're just going to give you a quick rundown on the Canadian university scene here, and some Canadians, some Canadians doing some big things in NCAA as well, right, Joe?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we'll sort of, we've been, you know, we've talked to you guys a lot about what's going on in the CIS and the men's soccer. We've talked to Coach Philip Prostrand from Ryerson. We've talked to Carmen Sackle from York, Ilya Orlov, the assistant at U of T. They currently, the Nationals are going on. They're in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, for the first time in 2 years, we're going to have a new champion, York University, the two-time defending champs, who are actually lost a tough game today, actually, in the in the quarterfinals against Alberta. The Alberta Golden Bears, York University, played them, I think, today in the quarterfinal. And our, you know, Carmen Sacco and the York Lions unfortunately dropped that game, so they will not be, you know, three-peating, but they still deserve a lot of credit. They qualified for Nationals again. What a program, what a coach, what players. It's fair to know, you know, that's a very good Alberta team that has a lot of former FC Edmonton players in the NASL.
Right.
And actually a few of them are first teamers. And then and our other, one of the other groups that we highlighted, the U of T Varsity Blues, they lost a tough game in their national quarterfinal to, I believe, Cape Breton.
Right.
So, you know, again, kudos to them for qualifying. And again, we look at Ryerson, who had a fantastic year, and how hard it is. They lost in the OUA semifinal game, in the bronze medal game to U of T to qualify for the Nationals. So they just felt short. But, you know, Philip Prostrand and his staff deserve a lot of credit.
Definitely.
For having a great year with Ryerson. And it just goes to show you, you know, we've talked about how competitive, you know, the OUA is in the Ontario Division of University Soccer in Canada. how competitive it is. And it's kudos to the three guys, or the three staffs, I should say, that we represented on our show, with Carmen Asako at York University, Philip Prostrand at Ryerson. Anthony Capatosta was the head coach at U of T, but we had Ilya Orlov on, who's a bright young coach, as their assistant. So, you know, they've done a great job, and all those programs deserve a lot of credit. You know, so they're currently gone in the Nationals this week. And, of course, Guelph, who actually beat York in the OUA final, is competing in there, too, and they're hosting it, and they deserve, you know, a lot of credit, too, with Keith Mason as their coach and so on. So there's a lot of, you know, good things happening. On another note, Jonathan Lau, York Lions player, he was named the CIS Player of the Year.
Oh, wow.
And this kid can play. This is a really good player. He had a lot of, he was one of the earliest members of the TFC Academy when it first started out.
Right.
And Jonathan spent some time in Germany, too, playing overseas there in one of the second or third divisions. And this kid is a very, very good player. So congratulations to Jonathan as being named CIS Player of the Year, Men's Player of the Year. So
that's excellent.
Yeah, and again, kudos to him and the staff there. So we said it before, Reg. We said it when we did the show previewing the season. The level of play in Canadian university soccer has improved big time because of the great coaches that are involved now, because they can give some money. So I urge you guys, you know, check it out in the next season and so on, and we'll be having those guys on again.
Oh, definitely. Maybe get some players as well, too.
For sure. And players, like a lot of them, do applying their trade in the NCAA.
Exactly.
So we got a big, big week this week, Reg. It is tournament time. Conference tournament time in the NCAA and Division One men's soccer. This week we have a lot of conference tournaments. In the MAC tournament, we have, obviously, Akron is one of the big schools there. University of Buffalo, another big school there. Speaking of them, we have Daniel Cramarosa, a local kid from the GTA, applying his trade there. His UB Bulls will be playing Bowling Green in tomorrow's, the next day's MAC semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more than likely we'll be playing against Akron. Who's Akron given us? Well, a lot of MLS players, including, actually, I believe Chad Bush, who saved a great penalty against Sasha Kleshton from Montreal Impact.
Akron?
Akron alumni, I believe so, yeah. Reggie Laria.
Mm-hmm.
Richie Laria.
Richie Laria, yeah.
Richie Laria. His brother Reggie is actually there now.
Yeah.
And Marcel Zajac.
He's down in Orlando, right?
That's right.
Kyle Aaron there.
Yeah. So those are Sigma Products, who from local areas here in GTA, they went down and played at Akron. So Daniel will be playing. And, of course, Daniel's teammate at University of Buffalo, you will remember this name. I know it. Yeah, you should all know it. He's an American kid. But, you know, I went to watch them play and saw Russell Cicerone, and this kid can play. He's an attacking player. He's number 7 from the University of Buffalo. The good bet that he'll be playing in the MLS next year. We'll see. A very good player, so that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got, Reg? We have a lot of stuff. I'm going to do this pretty quickly, but Kamal Miller, we always talk about him on this show. Syracuse University product from Vaughn Soccer Club. I know the kid very well. Fantastic player. You know, they'll be gearing up for the NCAA tournament and the ACC tournament as well. Kamal has been invited to the next U20 camp for Canada, which is great news. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Along with two other guys that we've talked about on this show as well, Dayon Harris, mm-hmm. another local product from the GTA, Vaughn Soccer Club, and he's from Penn State. He's also been invited, as well as Dane Sinclair, University of Maryland goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper, yeah.
Yeah, and we've talked about Dane a lot on the show, and all three of those guys have been invited to the U20 camp. Again, from the NCAA. And, yeah, so a lot of Canadians doing their thing. I'm probably missing a few more, but we'll talk about you guys as well. I know you guys listen in, and we'll get to you guys. But, yeah, that's what's going on down south and, of course, in the college scene or in the university scene.
But a big change in the Canadian national team setup. We were in our hiatus, we'll call it.
Yeah.
You missed the firing of Benito Floro.
Yeah.
Happiest person in the world is Jonathan Osorio, I think.
I mean, listen, how do you... And now you got also scoring goals. I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, if you're talking about Brazil leaving out certain players, you know, sure, I get it. You know,
yeah,
they have so many choices.
Yeah.
But to leave out Will Johnson and Jonathan Osorio,
yeah.
You know, I get it. Jonathan, you know, looked like he was unhappy when, you know, one of the games he was substituted. But all Jonathan Osorio's done is being one of the first names on the game sheet for TFC.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a steady performer.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually now scoring goals.
Yep.
I mean, you know, good for Jonathan that he's back in the mix. You know, I mean, you could think that he would be after the, you know, TFC's in the playoffs. So, I mean, it's just a shame. But, you know, good for Jonathan. It's a great story, isn't it, Reg?
No, definitely.
You know, local kid, you know,
Mississippi.
Tried his trade. Yeah. You know, went to Uruguay, you know, came here and burst on the scene with TFC. And, you know, he's been, a staple in TFC's lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and it gives a lot of great hope for the young players, you know, and some of these guys that we've talked about. And, you know, Reggie, I really believe that some of the guys we mentioned, you know, they're going to be the names we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
you know. The names we talk about at the next level. I keep saying it, and I really do believe it.
Well, you know? Hopefully they get their chance, right?
Absolutely. So those guys, the college guys, another great, this has to be mentioned, Austin Ricci. We've mentioned him before. We had him on the show.
Yeah.
Austin playing at Oakland University. Well, all Austin did this week in two conference playoff games, he scored two goals.
That's
so
it,
eh? Good for Austin as well.
Nice.
Yeah, and... Yeah, so all our guys we mentioned there are doing a great job. But, this is, again, an opportunity, Reg, where, you know, I think in years past they weren't given a fair shake. But I think now more and more the NCAA route and the quality of play in it has really given young players a chance to ply their trade and get some great experience. Carmen Sacco talked about that too, and you know, when he was on our show. So the future looks bright.
Definitely does, and I can't wait. Like you said, I can't wait to see these guys. We're already looking forward to summer, and it's not even winter yet, and we're already looking forward to summer so we can get back out and watch these guys. Play a little bit. So Joe, I feel like we just did the end of the practice wind sprints.
Yeah, that was a lot of hands. We have a lot to catch up on.
We definitely do have a lot to catch up on. It was a quick show. We hit a lot of things really quickly. We would like to have spent a lot more time on certain subjects, but time is a factor, and there's way too much to talk about.
So, yeah, we'll have more to talk about.
Definitely.
The next time we do a show, for sure, yeah.
Next week's show, right?
There you go. We're going to get back to it. We're not going to be the annual...
Football annual podcast.
We're gonna get back on track.
But it's good. You know what? It's very good. It's good. Our listeners. It's whenever we see people, it's like, hey, well, how come you haven't done a show in a long time? It's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, great. It pushes us. Absolutely.
Exactly. So
we need to.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So we'll definitely keep up with that. So guys, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, our website, footballweekly.com. Our Twitter handle is @football_weekly. Football spelled FUTBOL. Joe, anything else?
Reggie, I'm going to call it now.
Okay. I love these predictions at the end, by the way.
The top three in the EPL will be in no particular order.
You have to put it in order. You have to put it in order.
Okay, as of today?
Okay.
Liverpool.
Okay, we're done. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week.